Is it always wrong to perform futile CPR? That was the question posed by Dr. Robert Trogue in the February 11th edition of the New England Journal of Medicine. And that question prompted a great deal of debate in an email discussion group sponsored by Sister Rosemary Flanagan at the Center for Practical Bioethics. Hi, welcome to the Bioethics Channel, a production of the Center for Practical Bioethics. For more information about the center and its programs, visit practicalbioethics.org. That's practicalbioethics.org. Sister Rosemary, you didn't know you would start a hornet's nest of discussion by introducing this topic. Did that surprise you at all?
It surprised me very much. This doctor, Robert Trogue from Harvard Medical School, is a pediatrician, an anesthesiologist, and a pediatric critical care physician. He's written over 200 articles, many, many of them, in the New England Journal. And this one is a reflection on something he did in the past, which he justifies doing, and which set off a storm of protest among my discussion group people.
Well, let's talk about the details of what he was talking about in that article. He was talking about a 2-year-old boy severely brain damaged from a birth defect. He was dead, he said. His heart had stopped. Doctors and nurses knew that no matter how hard they might try to resuscitate him, they would never succeed. And I'm reading here from a New York Times article talking about the submission to the New England Journal of Medicine. They tried CPR anyway, aggressively jamming large bore needles into his chest, pounding on him, applying paddles to shock his heart. One nurse, so upset, she almost vomited. But the parents wanted aggressive care, insisting that everything possible be done for their little boy. So they performed CPR, and the parents at the end thanked the doctors for doing that.
Exactly.
How did you respond to that?
Well,
and then how did...
When I read the article, I sent out to my good arguers on the discussion group, is it ever justifiable to do futile care when you know it's futile? In other words, to treat parents or surrogate decision makers rather than treating the patient. And I had felt sympathy for Dr. Trogue. He made a wonderful case, and I got a storm of protest from most of my people, and it led to very many good discussion things. The whole thing of futility, the whole thing of was this action of his caring as he protested and justified doing it because it was caring. He said in healthcare today, there is so much, you know, just business as usual and getting things done. And he said that he hoped that actions like his would show that hospitals were caring places. And discussion group
that went back and forth.
And said, you mean doing that to a child you call caring? And, of course, he would respond, I didn't do it for the child. I did it for the parents.
Now, you made the point in one of your email postings, and I'm quoting from you here, I think most professionals of all sorts can look back on their lives and justify futile actions that they would repeat given the same circumstances. It makes finger-pointing and eyes to heaven looks rather silly. What do you mean by that?
Well, in other words, I could see a lot of people reading that thing and then rolling their eyes and saying, oh my gosh, this is just so out of the world that it never could happen to me. I think there are many practitioners who have done futile treatment, who justified doing it at the time exactly as Trogue had done, who looks back. It's sort of like looking back on evil and saying, I knew that I did something bad, but by gum, if I had to do it again, I'd do exactly what I did. Maybe that doesn't say that we were always acting perfectly, but it Trogue is trying to say, sometimes you act compassionately and unreasonably.
Now, with your group, your email discussion group, how would you characterize that group. You have medical professionals in there, philosophers, ethicists.
They range all over everything. They range from philosophers to retired physicians to active physicians to nurse practitioners to nurses of all ilk to it's just normal people to, you know, non-professionals. And they get in, they get into the discussion from all sorts of different ways. But what surprised me is that the bulk of the discussion group's argument was that Trogue did no good for our social fabric, which still thinks that medicine can do miracles, and that he was simply continuing that by violating, they would say, the body of this probably dead 2-year-old. One of our good discussion groupers said, what if Trogue had said to the parents, I cannot do this because I know it's futile, but I will do it if you will assume the charges for our doing it. Now, the parents obviously weren't even present there. The boy came through the ICU doors, Trogue says, and he was white and ashen and probably dead. And so I didn't even get the notion that the parents were there. But they had said, over the years of in and out of the ICU, do everything for our son. And so the notion that parents or surrogates can make demands on medicine, even in areas of futility, will have to be countered, I think, by the hard and cold facts of wasting money. And if the provider is willing to do a futile action for the benefit of parents, maybe we will have to ask those parents to assume the cost of it.
Well, it seems like a difficult balancing act, avoiding futile treatments while placating, in this case, desperate parents.
That's right, and that's exactly what it was. And he admitted, and everybody else wrote in, admitted whether they were for him or against him, they admitted it wasn't a case of helping that boy. That little boy was gone. How far do we expect healthcare professionals to practice their professional way of living for the benefit of parents or surrogate decision makers when it cannot help the patient? And I think that Trogue says it was a compassionate action. We have had others in the discussion group admit to the same thing. It is so much better to know that in modern healthcare we could go this far. And others of our respondents said that was going too far.
Hmm. Well,
waste of financial resources, waste of hospital resources, waste of an opportunity to teach people that death is normal.
Still, one of the respondents, a physician, said, and he's a pediatrician, it is hard to look into the eyes of suffering parents who are begging you and only you to do everything possible to keep their baby alive. Parents who know CPR is their last desperate hope, and to say to them, no, sorry.
No, Charlie. Yeah, I love that. No, I won't do it. He said it is almost impossible to do that. And, you know, it's not just the fact that this was a 2-year-old baby. This could be a 98-year-old suffering.
It could be any one of us.
It could be any one of us and anywhere along the line. And that's what caught me with my first reading of the Trogue thing. This man was a physician trying to act well. One of the discussion groups say, no, he wasn't acting like a physician. He was acting like a parent. And I thought that was an interesting way of viewing it. No matter what he was acting like, ought he should have done that? Is this something that modern medicine will continue to pay for?
I thought one of our colleagues here at the center had something good to say about this. Quoting him here, we need to put an end to the thinking that CPR is passionate or therapeutic. We need to stop using the science of medicine to protect us from its art.
That's right. We have a good discussant from Colorado, a nurse practitioner, and she said, since when is practicing CPR in any way considered compassionate? It's brutal. But see, was it brutal to those parents? They looked at the damage on their son's chest and thanked Dr. Trogue for trying.
Well, it showed them that they had done everything, right?
They did. They did. Now, whether or not Trogue ought to have worked against this technological imperative that is gripping the consciousness of Americans, that if you die all tied up to technological means, it's a better dying than if you were just home in bed and going off on your own with your family around you. This technological imperative has a grip on our nation. And ought Trogue to have said to those people, those parents, those suffering parents, this isn't going to help him. This isn't going to help him. They come in with this consciousness that shot through that it will, in some way, even show their love and devotion, as in bringing loved ones from a nursing home to die in a hospital, when it would be the most compassionate thing in the world, I would think, to die in the nursing home. They think that where technology is, that's the best.
Now, you wrapped up this discussion with your email where you noted, as in most ethical analysis, this question of futile CPR comes down to oughts, right. How physicians ought to respond, parents, right. Doctors, in regard even to their values and to their character.
Absolutely. And boy, what this discussion bombarded me with is that the very best reasons on both sides of the issue led to no agreement. Those who thought Trogue was compassionate persisted in that belief, and those who thought this was futile and wasteful and anti-social-minded change were convinced of their position.
Well, Rosemary Flanagan is a distinguished fellow at the Center for Practical Bioethics. My name is Laurel LeBoux. Thanks for listening to the Bioethics Channel.